Well, this morning in this part of the show, we will be talking about municipal control of electric utility distribution. Here in our communities in Champaign and Urbana, so local officials are thinking about the possibility of getting involved in setting up a municipal electric system for the Twin Cities. And also the University of Illinois would be involved in this, probably. At least the U of I has been involved in the conversation. And it is true that something like 40 communities in Illinois own their own electric systems, including, just to name a couple, our nearby community of Rantoul, also Farmer City, and also Springfield. In this part of the show, we thought we'd talk a little bit about why it is that cities get into the power business, how it is that happens, some of the advantages, some of the disadvantages. And we have two guests joining us by telephone. Philip Mueller, he's with the Illinois Municipal Electric Agency. He's a manager of government relations and communications. And also here in the studio with me is Steve Holtz. He is the city attorney for City of Urbana. Questions are welcome. I know our guests will do their best to give you an answer. 333-9455 here for Champaign-Urbana and toll-free 800-222-9455. Mr. Mueller, hello.
Yes, good morning, David.
Thanks very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Steve Holtz, thank you.
Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Steve.
Let me ask you first, maybe I'll ask Doc Mueller to talk a little bit about the Illinois Municipal Electric Agency and what it is.
Sure. Let me give you a little bit of background, and you touched on it earlier, David, and I'll plug IMEA into it in the context of the other systems. There are 42 municipally operated electric systems in the state of Illinois, and essentially what that means is that those cities own the electric distribution facilities. They own the wires, the transformers, the drops that go down into the houses, and they have a department of that city that takes care of those facilities, oversees that utility, just the way a city that has a sewer system or a water system or a police department, for that matter, would operate. Many of those systems have some electric generation of their own. For instance, the city of Springfield, which is the largest municipal system in the state, provides all of its own generation. Some cities have no generation on site, and they buy on the wholesale market. What my organization does, and we are in the midst of about to celebrate our 20th anniversary, is we were put together to actually provide power supply for those communities that that wanted an alternative supplier. The idea was that these communities, many of which are relatively small, you mentioned Farmer City, for instance, really didn't have the power in the marketplace to get themselves the best power deal. So they came together 20 years ago, created this organization, and our job is to put their requirements together and go out and procure for them a low-cost and reliable source of wholesale power. So that is essentially what we do. We have a number of other things, obviously, that we do, but that's our core task.
So for those places that have their own way of getting the power around, they've got the wires.
Yes.
What it is that you do is you provide the power to them. So you get the power from wherever it's generated to the city limits, essentially, and then they take it from there.
That's exactly right.
All right. Let me turn here to Steve Holtz. Now, people here in Champaign and Urbana have been talking about this at least for a couple of months. Now, I'm not exactly sure how much further the conversation might go back than then, but at least that I've been aware of this, we're going back to last fall, where folks in both cities have been considering this notion of doing this. Now, I'm not building a power plant. Obviously, we can't do that. But the idea of taking over the distribution system, as a lot of other communities have done, and then going out there and finding some place to provide to get the power to put into the system. What got this conversation here in Champaign-Urbana started? What got local governmental people thinking about this?
Well, I think it's been a kind of an eye-opening process. Before I even get into that, though, I want to point out that although I'm here as a city attorney, I'm not speaking as a representative of either Champaign or the university. In fact,
absolutely,
not even really as speaking for the city of Urbana at this point, because there have been no decisions made. There's not been any policy set. There's been no decisions at all other than to explore right now. Mm-hmm. About a month and a half ago, our city council and the Champaign City Council both authorized and entered into an intergovernmental agreement together with the University of Illinois. So a three-way deal by which the three of us as entities decided to go in and kick in basically $100,000 together to look at the issues that are out there. And that could include the possibility ultimately of some form of takeover of the local distribution system. It could also include some other intermediate steps, such as what's called aggregation of the electric customers in the area, as well as something far less involved, such as simply being taking a more proactive approach with what with the current system that we have and just being more involved with the ICC and its various hearings. Hmm. So at this point, really, we just see ourselves essentially as students of the process and students of the options. Now, it's true, obviously, and there's been comments even on the Urbana City Council floor, and I'm not sure about Champaign. It's true that there has been some discussion about takeover, but it's so far it's been kind of tossed around basically without a real foundation of knowledge, and we've got a really long way to go before I think before we get to that point. I think it's interesting to note, and hey, Doc, why don't you straighten me out on this if I'm incorrect?
Sure.
Although there's some 40 cities out there right now that have their own systems, Doc, can you tell us how many of them have basically started out with those many decades ago as opposed to those that have kind of taken over in some form or other?
Yeah, David, you mentioned earlier on about how cities come to get into this business, and it's almost the opposite. It's really more how many cities have gotten out of the business over the years. Municipal power in Illinois began well before the turn of the century, of the 20th century, in the late 1890s. Farmer City, as a matter of fact, is the oldest functioning municipal system in the state. They put in electric street lighting and operated it in 1888, and that's a scant 10 years after Thomas Edison first displayed his incandescent light bulb in Menlo Park. What happened over the years was that municipalities, seeing this new technology, wanted it for their citizens. So in the late 1800s, early 1900s, many cities began electric systems. That was before the investor-owned utilities were created to do this on a for-profit basis. And long before, of course, Congress created the rural electric cooperatives. Those came around in the 1930s under FDR. What occurred over time then was that as the larger investor-owned utilities tended to take more and more of the market, many cities actually sold their systems to the investor-owned utilities and got out of the business. What you see in Illinois is the core of those systems that have generally been there for 100 years or more. A few have come along in the relatively recent past. The city of Bushnell, Illinois, over in the western part of the state, took over its system in 1941. The most recent municipal system formed in the state is the village of Greenup, which is down on Interstate 70, not all that far from the Indiana border. And that was 1955. And that really speaks to the level of difficulty there is in creating a new system. You have to really want to do it. There have been new municipal systems formed in other parts of the country. I should say that every state in the nation has municipal systems with the exception of Hawaii. Hmm. And so it has happened around the country. It has not happened in Illinois since 55.
Hmm. Well, let me, I mean, I want to ask Steve Holtz here. Let's we'll put all the qualifications in place that you mentioned before, the fact that obviously you're not speaking for the governments of the Twin Cities, and that the kind of discussion that we're talking about is very preliminary. It's just in the beginning
yes.
stages where someone said, well, you know, this is something that's worth talking about and thinking about. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. And having said that, though, and understanding just how complicated and expensive a matter it would be, for the cities to take over the responsibility for distribution, because you'd have to either lease the existing lines or buy the existing lines, and you would have to maintain them, and so you'd have to set up some kind of administrative structure to do all that kind of thing, the thing that the power company is doing now. Given all the expense and the difficulty, why would the cities want the additional headache? Why would they even want to think about doing such a thing?
Well, I suppose there's a variety of potential good things that can come out of this. And, we've seen a lot recently with mergers and acquisitions of utility systems. You know, Illinois Power used to be a local system, locally owned and locally run, and then came into Illinova, which was then eventually purchased by Dynegy a few years ago. Dynegy wound up in some Enron-related types of financial difficulties, and meanwhile, Dynegy as well is in a different type of power business than regulated electric utilities. They tend to focus more on unregulated aspects of the business, and so IP was just a little holding off here somewhere in central Illinois, and nobody really seemed to know much about it from Dynegy's perspective. So this notion of this changing utility landscape out there with the mergers and acquisitions and the changing of ownership and things like that has kind of brought to the fore again the notion of local ownership, local control, local accountability for the system. And I think that's probably one of the prime motivators at this point for looking into this process. There's also just the notion of reinvesting the profits locally, of making sure that that the system is maintained to a level that we want, or that it addresses concerns that we have. So, for instance, in the middle of last year, I think it was June of 2003, we had a community-wide forum on basically a gripe session on difficulties with Illinois Power. And it was an amazing response that was that showed up there at the hearings in Champaign. Developers, business owners, all with the same kinds of stories over and over again about how poor the customer service has become, particularly from the standpoint of getting new service put in and of changing out service according to building schedules, and then also really poor in terms of reliability for the larger businesses, business users of electricity. So I think those kinds of concerns have motivated it. Now, what's interesting as you think about it is that although in a lot of ways the Illinois Power problems, we can call them, have been part of the process, has been part of what's opened our eyes to this entire situation, and we're not just talking about the more recent recently aired concerns about customer service and reliability, but it started off, I think, largely with the tree trimming problems, and then the recent fiasco with Dynegy and Exelon with the proposal to ram through legislation in the fall veto session, which would wind up being rate hikes. All that has kind of contributed to building a new awareness in the local community about what the overall situation is. You know, the interesting thing about these kinds of utilities is it's just like what happens if suddenly your water in your bathroom doesn't work anymore. All of a sudden you realize how important it is, and so when you have problems, suddenly you become aware of it and you start to learn in a hurry about it. Well, I think the same kinds of things have been happening here, and although there have been a lot of the IP problems have been a source of our motivation for looking at these kinds of things, I think the situation now is much bigger than the IP situation, because now we're looking at kind of the more global issues. Regardless of who owns IP in the future, I think these are kinds of concerns that the local community will want to look at and to explore further. You know, how advantageous would it be for us to control the local infrastructure and to be able to tailor it or to use it as an economic development tool? How important is it for us to get the kinds of infrastructure in place that would boost high-tech businesses? Those kinds of things, I think, remain on the table now regardless of who owns IP.
Well, let me real quick get in here with a reintroduction of the guests for anybody who might have tuned in. I want to make sure you know who it is that you're listening to. Here in studio with me, Steve Holtz. He is the city attorney for the city of Urbana. And joining us by the telephone is Philip Doc Mueller. He's manager of government relations and communications with the Illinois Municipal Electric Agency. And we're talking about the idea of municipal control of electricity distribution and what some of the reasons that communities might do that would be, what exactly is involved. And as we've mentioned, that officials in the cities of Urbana and Champaign and from the University of Illinois have all said, let's talk about this. Let's spend some time thinking about it. Let's do some studies, considering the possibility of would we want to even think about getting in the business of distributing, being in power distribution here in the cities of Champaign and Urbana. Questions are welcome, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. I want to turn back to Philip Mueller and ask, and this may be a difficult question because here across the country, I think the number of municipal utilities, it's only in the thousands.
That's correct. A little over 2,000.
A little over 2,000. So, you know, maybe making this kind of comparison would not be all that easy. But supposing that you took their performance, you look at issues like performance and customer satisfaction,
right,
and rates and so forth, and tried to make some comparison between those municipal systems and the investor-owned,
right,
systems, which are the norm. Is it the case that people who get their power from municipal systems, are they happier? Do they think the service is better? Are the rates any less than the investor-owned utilities?
In general, the answer to the rate question is yes. They tend to be lower. Now, there are a number of reasons for that. One of them, of course, is, of course, that we operate on a not-for-profit basis. We do not have to return money to the shareholders. That doesn't mean we don't have to make a margin. We do have to make some money over and above because we do have to plow money back into operations. But those extra dollars that would go to the stockholders tend to be either plowed back into the system or returned to the customer in terms of lower cost. In Illinois, even with the result of the deregulation bill back in 97, which mandated an up to 20% rate decrease for the investor-owned utilities in the state, the municipal systems in Illinois have tended to run, on average, 15 to 20% below cost, in terms of cost, on their bills. Springfield, for instance, has traditionally been one of the lowest cost electric suppliers, not just in Illinois, but in the country. And most of our members and most of the municipal systems are able to provide savings. What we find, however, especially as we've gone forward, is that the savings themselves are not necessarily the prime mover. Reliability is increasingly the key piece. And the advantage that municipal systems have, and this is in no way, I want to make clear here, I am not in no way denigrating our colleagues in the other two parts of this business because they do what they do well, and they do it for different reasons, and they have different pressures on them. But in the municipal systems, what you have are the maintenance crews located within the city limits. Therefore, if you have problems, the communication, first that there is a problem, comes quickly, and the response time is high. So if there is a problem, you tend to get the problem fixed very quickly. The other part of that equation, though, is because the local electric system is directly responsible to the political leadership of the community, and because mayors don't like to get calls in the middle of the night when the lights go out, the systems tend to be very well maintained. And again, you take that margin that might go to the shareholders and you plow it back in the system to make sure the system functions properly. Mm-hmm. And for those reasons, you can generally quantify that our level of reliability is very high and our costs tend to be lower.
I'm presuming that here, if such a thing was going to happen, say, in Champaign-Urbana, there is an existing distribution system. The wires are out there. They belong,
yeah,
to Illinois Power.
Right.
So I'm presuming that here in Champaign-Urbana that the cities would not buy the system, but they would in fact lease it?
There are a number of ways you could go about this, David, and I'll just tell you what, in general, can happen. The classic definition of municipal system is outright ownership. A lease would be possible, but it's not generally what is done. If the city decides, if a city decides it wants to get into the business, there are legal requirements under the Illinois statutes. You have to put this before the voters in actually two referenda. You can do it on one ballot if you want to. But the voters have to say, yes, we want the city to get into the business, and then, yes, we want the city to sell electricity to end-use individuals. So the voters have a say in that. If you get past that, then there are a number of ways you can go, essentially three ways you can go. You can sit down with the current supplier, and you can negotiate a purchase. And I think in most cases that is what people would prefer. You know, you call whomever and you say, look, we've passed these referenda now, and we want to sit down, we want to buy the system. In many cases, obviously, the incumbent utility is not going to want to sell. So let's say they do want to sell, you negotiate a price, the city would probably bond to get the money to buy the system, and then you take over. If they don't want to sell the system, you could do a couple of other things. You could do a parallel build. That is, you could say, all right, you don't want to sell to us. Well, we're going to get into the business anyway, and we are going to start building a parallel infrastructure, and we will simply take over customers one by one. As odd as that sounds, it's been done around the country. Not ideal, but it has been done. Indeed, in the city of Bushnell, over in the western part of the state, they had parallel systems running for years until finally the city bought out the last of the investor-owned utilities facilities when it became clear that there was just no reason for them to maintain facilities anymore. Mm-hmm. And the third option is condemnation. And condemnation is an option under Illinois law. There are hoops that you have to jump through, but the city could actually move to condemn the facilities and take them over that way. And then obviously at some point you get a judge or jury setting the cost of the facilities and the city buying them that way.
Hmm. Would you hazard a guess as to what the value of the distribution system for Champaign-Urbana would be?
I wouldn't hazard a guess. I would not hazard a guess. There are ways to set that value. There are experts in this business that would come into the city, would do a survey of the existing facilities, would estimate the value, and provide that estimate to the city. Now, the city's estimate is going to be low. The incumbent utility's estimate is going to be high, and you end up in the middle someplace. But there are entities out there who would do that and give you a very good number, but it's not going to be cheap.
Hmm. Well, let me turn here to Steve Holtz. And again, I want to make sure the people listening understand that, you know, what we're talking about here is something that's in the very, very early stages here. People in Champaign are just thinking about it. We're just talking about it. But I would think that here now you would, if the cities were going to, the governments were going to make the case to the people of Champaign-Urbana, they'd try to lay out the benefits. And they would talk about some of the things that we've talked about. And they'd say something like, well, really, we really think that we think it's very likely that you'll be paying less for your power. This would be a locally owned and managed system, and we believe that would mean greater reliability because the folks who were really responsible, they're going to be right here in Champaign-Urbana. It's not going to be at some place far away. And they're going to lay out the benefits. And then they're going to say, and we think it's going to cost X amount of dollars because we will have to buy the system, and ideally, Illinois Power will say, yeah, okay, we'll sell to you, and this is how much. And we'll have to set up infrastructure and all that. And it's going to be a lot of money. It's going to be a big number. How do you make that sale, essentially? How do you persuade people in Champaign-Urbana that it's worth doing? I'm sure even in some people in local government, when they saw the number, they'd say, well, forget it. You might as well forget it. It's not even worth talking about. It's just too much money.
I'm sure there will be plenty of those. I think the question really points up kind of what you have to consider the decision horizon on this kind of thing. Right. When you look at something like this, basically your ultimate question is, in the long term, is this community better off owning the system, distribution system, or is it better just staying with the current setup? And there's the kicker, is in the long term, are we looking at a one-year time horizon? Are we looking 5, 10, 20, 50 years? Right now we're about two-thirds of the way, three-fifths of the way through a 50-year franchise agreement with Illinois Power. In fact, yesterday was its 35th birthday. Just by a scheduling quirk here, we have exactly 15 years left on the existing franchise. It expires December 6, 2019. Certainly at the time that the franchise was entered into, people were looking at this with a really long time horizon. And I think that that is probably the approach that's going to have to govern in this kind of circumstance as well. Obviously, if you're just talking about will we be better off next year or 3 or 5 years from now, probably the answer is, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a tremendous amount of time from the elected officials, from the community, from the city's staff. And I just don't think it's the kind of thing that's going to pay off in the near future. But if you look at it from the longer-term horizon, that's where I think you'll probably see, if there are substantial benefits, that's where you'll see them. And certainly, even if you set aside questions like the possibility of lower rates, and you look at the possibility of keeping rates the same, but plowing what would have been profits to investors, plowing those back into the local infrastructure, all of that takes time. And it takes analysis, and it's not something that we are going to realize gains on immediately.
This is Doc again. Mm-hmm. This whole concept of the concern over the investment is real, and you are talking about large amounts of money. But with proper education, with laying the proper background, you can make people realize that. In a sense, it's similar to either renting your home or buying your home. There's less risk in many ways with renting your home. You want to leave, it's somebody else's hassle. If the tub leaks, it's somebody else's hassle. If the carpet wears out, it's somebody else's dime. But you also don't realize the benefits of home ownership. My agency has just recently got approval from our board of directors, and we operate in a manner similar to a city council with a city manager form of government. Every one of our 40 members has a seat at our board table. I have a boss, my chief executive officer, who is analogous to the city manager. We have a board president who would be analogous to the mayor from one of our communities. And we have, within the last year, received approval, the staff has, to essentially invest up to $150 million in the purchase of a portion of a new power plant to meet our future needs. Now, this is a plant that won't even go online until 2009, 2010. Was that an easy sell? No. We spent the better part of 3 months on the road talking to our member cities, telling them the economics of either owning something or having to go out on the power market to buy comparable amounts of power. And after we laid the numbers out to them and we answered questions, we got the approval of our city councils around the state and of our board to move forward with this. So can it be done? Yes, it can be done. Is it a long-term educational process? It is absolutely that, with no guarantee that in the end you're going to get buy-in from everybody. But there are advantages, and in the cold light of dawn, if after these cities have looked through all of the pros and cons and they think that it is worthwhile moving forward, you can be pretty sure that they've done their due diligence and that the numbers will support moving forward.
I have several callers here, and I want to get to them, I promise. I just want to ask one real quick question, if it's possible to ask it quickly. Let us suppose, and I guess pretty much I'm addressing the question to Doc Mueller, although Steve Holtz can answer too. So let us suppose that today, Champaign-Urbana, University of Illinois said, okay, yes, let's do it. We're going to do this.
Yeah.
We're going to do it. And let us suppose that the power company says, okay, fine. We'll sell you the system and we'll negotiate a, a price.
Right.
I'm talking about timelines here. Supposing that today they decided to do it, how long do you think it would take to accomplish, do all the negotiations, do all the paperwork, we got to hold a referendum, and everything? Are we talking about 5 years? Are we talking about 10 years? Is it that long a process?
I think if the scenario you set forth, which is, you've already had preliminary talks with your supplier, and they've agreed that if you get your hoops jumped through, they will sell, and it's a matter of negotiating the price. No, it's probably not that long. It's probably a couple of years. But, it could be 5 years if everything doesn't go that smoothly. So you're still talking probably years, but as I say, and I am just jerking my knee here, David.
Yeah.
I would think if all the stars lined up, you'd be looking at a couple of years. If they don't line up, you're probably looking at five.
Okay. Well, let's talk with some callers here. First up, Champaign County, line one. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very complicated backdrop to all of this, and I know you don't want to go into it too much, but the fact that Dynegy has this orphaned Illinois power company that it's not putting much money into, and that's why the reliability is going down, is part of it. IP is the smallest utility in the country that built a nuclear power plant, and something I know a huge amount of its capital base was tied up in that, and then it was devalued a whole lot. So, and now with this deregulated market system that we have, Exelon now owns the power plants. If we're talking about buying the infrastructure, we're still going to a deregulated power serving market. I'm all for this, but I think that it also should be looked with a view to having some kind of local generation and capacity as well, because it just seems decentralization is the counter trend that should be happening now, including a percentage of green energy purchase and that sort of thing, which I don't think actually has been enacted at the state level. In fact, Exelon, when they were trying to get through the rate assurance that they thought they needed to buy IP, they were using those
yes.
facts, right? So,
yeah,
if somebody wants to respond to that right now,
This is Doc, and in terms of renewable portfolio standards, the green energy, you're absolutely right. There is no current requirement on the books in Illinois that utilities purchase a portion of their power from green sources, and that's obviously something that, as a locally operated system, you can decide for yourself. City of Peru, Illinois, built themselves a hydroelectric project on the Starved Rock Dam on the Illinois River a number of years ago, and they're essentially creating enough electricity from that existing dam facility to light every one of the residences in town. And obviously the electrons from the dam don't go straight to the residences, but in an offset, that's the way it works. And you probably know there are a number of wind power projects going up in Bureau County, and we, among others, have been looking at those to see what the options are there. Your idea about being on the deregulated market is correct, however. Municipally operated systems purchase power wholesale. Wholesale is deregulated and has been for years. So you will have a purchase power contract with someone or someones, and you can also own generation. And almost half of the municipal systems of the state have some form of local generation, which they either use primarily, that would be Springfield, or part-time, either in emergencies or in times of peaks where power on the grid is very expensive. So, I am certain that the cities would want to examine in this, in their due diligence, whether and what kinds of local generation they might like to own.
Yeah, what I was getting at was that the actual bit of legislative maneuver that Exelon was trying to use was actually something that had to do originally with this green renewable energy portion, and they were actually really abusing the system that was intended. And fortunately, there was enough opposition that it didn't go ahead. But it seems to me that, you know, that's part of the whole context, and I really think that local dispersed generation systems, we don't have the fall of water that would need to have hydroelectric, but it seems to be the way to go, and with all the other possibilities of fuel cells I think we can run the meter backwards, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the peak load thing's, I guess, an important point too. But thanks for the point, and I'll let people. It is an important issue. So,
all right. Well, thanks for the call. Steve? You want to add anything to what?
No, I think Doc covered it pretty well. I suppose there's one thing I could add, and that's the point about the renewable energy standards and the so-called green power sources. I think that it's probably true that municipally owned systems tend to use more of the environmentally friendly sources of power than investor-owned utilities. I'm not sure what the real reason for that is. Maybe Doc could answer that. My guess is that it has something to do with the fact that with the investor-owned utilities, there just really is less incentive to do that. The more electricity people use, the more money you make, and the cost of the electricity in their power purchase agreements just gets folded into the rate cases. The government sets the rates for them. So I just don't think it seems there's not enough incentive.
The cities, a municipal system will respond to what its citizens want. And if, for instance, in the city of St. Charles, which is a municipal system up in the Chicago suburbs, they just instituted a green power program where the local citizens can actually buy green power certificates. They pay a little extra, but what they're doing is helping to put wind power on the grid. So this goes back to that whole concept of local control and the ownership of a municipal system will reflect the needs and desires of the citizens within the community.
We have about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus, and I should introduce again our guests. Joining us by telephone, Philip Doc Mueller. He's Manager of Government Relations and Communications for the Illinois Municipal Electric Agency. And this is an agency, its function is to provide wholesale power to its members, and there are 40. Then they resell it on the retail market, and here we're talking about the idea of cities getting involved in, at the very least, distributing power, in some cases generating some of their own power. And here in Champaign-Urbana, folks in the two cities, in the two governments, and also the University of Illinois, are thinking about that, are talking about it. That's, we thought it'd be interesting to, even though things are very early in this whole process, it'd be interesting here to talk about it on the program. And it's something that we'll certainly try to follow as things do develop. And joining us here in the studio, Steve Holtz, he is the city attorney for Urbana. We have some other callers. We'll go next to Belgium over by Danville, and that's line four. Hello.
Hello. That topic is more the tail of the dog than the dog. Urbana caused a great deal of problems for Illinois Power in trying to take care of their lines, in that there was a lot of trees going through things. And I think Illinois Power even changed things they did after a while because of the people causing the grief that the trees caused everybody, both Illinois Power and the individuals. Why do you want to buy the technology that is existing that causes that problem that your own people don't like? Why wouldn't you want to put in a new system better all the way around and just totally leave them hanging?
Well, Steve, is that something you're talking about?
Yeah, I suppose the answer to that, again, goes back to local control. The fact is that these are older communities, and we have these overhead lines. Illinois Power has had this mantra for some years that we are an overhead power company, not an underground power company. Now, obviously, that's changing slowly as new subdivisions come in. Those are all undergrounded. But I suppose the problems that came about with Illinois Power and with other utilities that have these overhead systems, first of all, was not just Urbana, but kind of a statewide problem. Other communities, particularly Bloomington and a few others, had some real difficulties with what were turns out, changed practices in the utility industry about what was seen by them as an appropriate way to prune trees. They had done some studies and decided that it would be better to do some more radical pruning up front. And they felt that that would help save them some money. Well, obviously, then that has an impact right in your own backyard. And people naturally get up in arms about what is done in their own backyards. So I think that...
Go ahead.
I think that what this comes down to is local control of the system and seeing if there's some way of dealing with it. I'm not sure that it's safe to say at this point at all that anybody really wants to own this. We're just looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it seemed to be the point the caller was making was that, you know, we know that there have been some headaches involved in the negotiation between the power company who are concerned about maintaining their lines and people who have trees.
Yes.
And how it is you negotiate that. The caller seemed to be saying, well, you would eliminate that headache if you said, well, rather than buy the old-fashioned system on poles, we'll put in our own lines, we'll put them underground, so that'll be new, and then we won't have to worry about dealing with people, and they're saying they're going to be unhappy when we come along and top their trees because of power lines.
Well, and I think that kind of ties in with what Doc was saying earlier about one of the ways that a takeover, so to speak, of the utility system could happen. This is the overbuild. Just by building parallel system with the new system being underground. Now, you know, that's also very expensive, particularly once the neighborhoods are in place, as they are here. You're not just talking about trenching some virgin farmland. You're talking about houses and trees and bushes and existing sewer lines and old utilities that very often you don't even know where they're at. So it's an expensive process. If that were to be something that the community were really interested in, that's certainly a way to approach it. Another is to look at the possibility of the utilities themselves, the existing utilities, kind of committing to underground material on an annual basis. And I know there's other communities that have this kind of requirement in their franchise agreements. We don't. Basically requiring the utility to put in, I don't know, maybe a half mile of underground where the system is currently overhead.
Hmm. Let's go on here. We'll talk with someone in Urbana. They're line number two. Hello.
Hi. Well, you've stolen my thunder. I was going to raise this issue of underground power lines and the fact that Illinois Power has all these overhead power lines, and it seems to me that maybe now it looks pretty expensive to go back and refit these older part of towns with underground lines. But again, if you're thinking in terms of 50 years instead of just a few years, then do we really want to have overhead power lines 50 years from now? So
yeah,
that's my comment.
Sure. Well, Doc, you have any insight on that issue?
I just know that everywhere, for every utility, tree trimming is an issue, and the idea of overhead lines is an issue. Obviously, from an aesthetic standpoint, everybody wants their lines underground. Interestingly enough, while underground lines obviously are great in terms of reliability for things like ice storms and snowstorms where you have limbs dropping on lines, in electrical storms, underground lines can actually create some problems because it's tougher to find. If lightning hits ground and burns through a line underground, it's tougher to find the break. So there are pros and cons, but I can tell you, as long as there's an overhead line, there are those like me, and I love my trees, who kind of go out and watch the guys as they trim, even here in Springfield. So that's not going to go away.
All right, let's go to Savoy for another caller. Line one.
Hi, how
Hello.
You doing?
Hi.
Has anybody thought about what the cost impact on consumers' bills are going to be? It's going to have to be higher if you don't have any generating capacity. Now, I know Springfield has a really good situation on their hands because they have all the generating capacity, and they've owned that system for a long time. And their power bill, the final delivered cost to the consumer is about 10 to 15% less than what Illinois Power can deliver here. But whenever you talk about buying that power system and that distribution system, can you do you really think that our bills are going to go down? I mean, is that the is that the primary motivation?
Well, I think we talked about this a little bit earlier, and it seemed from what I was hearing, and again, a guest can respond, that in fact that's not really the primary motivation. It may happen, but it sounds like it's more what people are more interested in is the issue of reliability and local control more than rates.
I'll let Steve speak to the local issue. Let me talk a little bit about power purchase agreements and wholesale contracts. Mm-hmm. Actually, right now, if you were going out for a short-term power contract, right now you'd get some very good prices because there is a temporary glut in wholesale power, at least here in the upper Midwest. And in terms of figuring your final delivered cost, you obviously look at the bonds that you are going to have to float to buy the system. You're going to have to look at your annual maintenance. You're going to have to fold in your power supply. But it is not a given that that's going to be higher. It may be when you run the numbers, but it is certainly not a given. And obviously, if you run those numbers and you find that to do this, you're going to be paying 25 or 30% more for an extended period of time, I don't think people are going to do it. But until you run the numbers, you're not going to know, and it is not a given that that is the way it's going to work out.
I think that's correct, too, Doc. It seems to me that although there are a lot of real benefits to this, and certainly the possibility of lower rates is one of them, part of the process of learning about this is learning whether or not we could keep the rates lower while realizing those other benefits, or keep the rates the same while realizing them. Personally, I see no realistic prospect for success of anything like this if it involved likelihood of actual higher rates.
Yeah, we do a lot of work for having people look at energy recovery and cogeneration and everything like that. And whenever you start putting reasonable amounts of return on investment for things like this, even if we talk 5-7% return on investment after tax, you'd be surprised how expensive things can get whenever you spend $100 million or $250 million to purchase something.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the absolute number of dollars is going to be large. But in the end, the question is, what revenues do you recover to acquire the bonds and to pay your bills? And until the cities have done those studies, you won't really know. But again, there is no reason that it needs to be more expensive. It is not necessarily going to be more expensive. It could be, but others have done it, and they've either done it at the same cost or they've done it for less. But until those studies are done and you really know what you're dealing with, it's difficult to say.
We're coming down to the point where we just have a couple minutes left. I want to make sure that before we leave people, we just again talk about where in this whole process of discussion we are. And if I remember what Steve Holt said at the beginning of the program was that the cities and the university have agreed to spend some money to study the issue. And essentially that is where we are right now.
And that's where we are right now, yes. Right. We haven't even gotten to the point yet of having selected a consultant and experts to help us with it. We're in the process of doing that right now, but even that's a little ways down the road.
Yeah. So there's lots and lots of open, unresolved questions here. You talked about the fact that part of this, perhaps part of the interest in even thinking about this, had to do with some dissatisfaction that people in Champaign-Urbana voiced about the quality of service they were getting from the utility that was serving them now. Short of taking over the system, what are some of the things that you're thinking about otherwise that you think might end up with the same kind of result, but wouldn't involve Champaign and Urbana buying the distribution system.
Well, there is the possibility of working with the Commerce Commission, which governs this utility. In fact, we currently have an informal complaint filed with the commission, and we'll see how that goes. At this point, we've not been satisfied with the level of response that we received from Illinois Power, and we've told the commission that we're not satisfied with it in IP's formal responses to the commission. Another possibility, which is short of actual ownership of the system, is this idea of municipal aggregation of customers. And we don't have anywhere near the time to talk about that.
Unfortunately, we don't. Yeah.
But I guess the point about that is that although it's theoretically a possibility, the way Illinois law is set up right now is it's simply not going to happen. There needs to be some changes in the law.
Well, we're going to have to stop with the promise, though, that as this story develops, we'll see if we can talk about it some more all the way along. For the moment, though, we want to say thanks very much to Steve Holtz. He is the attorney for City of Urbana. Thank you.
You're welcome, Steve.
And,
great to be here.
Philip Mueller, he's Manager of Government Relations and Communications with the Illinois Municipal Electric Agency. Thank you very much.
Well, David, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.